So when the president of the United States and the richest businessman in the entire planet bicker and they exchange nasty and very personal accusations, the whole world obviously leans in because they want to know what's going on. It's natural for people to want to know what's happening in a situation like that. They want to know what's going on. Well, something happened that is changing things when it comes to this bickering, this argument. Is it news? Actually, it is. And it's news that happened across just as I was sitting down for a discussion with Elon Musk's father, which you're about to hear for yourself and see for yourself. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is The Effect of Real Journalism. Let's do this. Elon Musk has posted what sounds like an apology to Donald Trump. Did you see this? Here it is. Let me put it up for you. He writes, "I regret some of my posts about President Trump last week. They went too far." So there it is. There's Mr. Trump saying so. By the way, his father, Elon Musk's dad, had criticized him for this squabble with Mr. Trump, and he told him to try and work it out some way, son. This news of him, working it out, occurred just as I happened to be sitting down with Mr. Musk, who happened to be in Moscow. Look, I know this breakup and makeup stuff between Mr. Trump and Mr. Musk sounds more like material for a soap opera, right, than it is real news. But let me tell you something else, though. This is important. Let me tell you why I think it actually is important that it is news. It's about overspending. I got a chart for you. Take a look at this. Look at this chart. I know it's kind of hard to fathom these crazy numbers because they get so big, but look instead at just look at the trend. See that trend? We start in the year 2000 with $1.79 trillion. Now the U.S. is soon going to be spending in the next couple of years more than $8 trillion spending. Right now we're about $7 trillion, by the way. Now that's crazy. Look at that chart. It just keeps going up and up and up and up, no matter it doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter if the Democrats are in control. It doesn't matter if the Republicans are in control. It just doesn't. But here's the real problem. Here's the real problem with all of this. The taxes that the U.S. takes in from citizens like me, right, who pay U.S. taxes, only amount to about half, maybe three quarters of that spending. So where's it coming from? Where's the rest of it going, right? I'll tell you where. Congress borrows it or prints it. Why, though, would they then spend more money than they actually have, knowing that that's not good policy? Well, because they're lobbied, they're paid, they're given campaign contributions from certain companies like defense contractors to make sure that the spending keeps up and up and up and up. So what does that have to do with Mr. Trump and Mr. Musk? Well, it's all about this.
On this vote, the yeas are 215, the nays are 214, with one answering present. The bill is passed.
Wow. I like the way they applaud themselves. But should they be? Congress is applauding itself when it passes Mr. Trump's bill, but Elon Musk criticizes it. Why? Because that big, beautiful bill, as they call it, as it's being called, was supposed to start undoing all that spending that has been taking place since the year 2000. But did it? No. In fact, based on projections, this new big, beautiful bill is big, yes, but beautiful, no. Listen to what this respected, moderate U.S. senator, he's a Republican, said about his own colleagues passing this bill, which I guess he passed too, and he talks about his own party members, when he's talking about this bill with Tucker Carlson.
Okay, so we're going to spend over $7 trillion this year. How much do we take in tax receipts every year?
About 5.1. So we've got a structural deficit of around 6% right now, CBO is projecting over the next 10 years. 6%. So federal revenue will be, according to CBO, 18.1, even though it's about 17.1. But they're projecting that we're going to increase, have an automatic tax increase next year. So they bumped that to 18.1. And federal spending is going to be about 23.5%.
So that deficit spending, where does that money come from?
We borrow it, okay, or we print it. So now total government spending is about 40%. It's three times what it was back less than 100 years ago. And I would argue, as government grows, our freedoms necessarily recede.
As government grows, freedoms recede. Think about that. He's so right. That's the point that Elon Musk has been trying to make. That's his criticism. Now, should he have done it so publicly? Well, was it also important for him? Probably. It also depends on, you know, how long you think the U.S. can continue to spend and spend and spend without consequences. If it's a long time, then maybe you shouldn't scream about it. But if it's a short time, then maybe not. Yes, it's by far the richest country on the planet. There's no question. The United States has a lot of money, a lot of money. But we're starting to see cracks. See these riots, although based on immigration, in this case in Los Angeles, like the January 6th disturbance, that was based on politics. Still, it's all about angry lower and middle class people in America that know something is wrong. They know something is wrong because they feel it. And you know where they feel it? They feel it in their pocketbook. Look, Trump has said he wants to cut. There's no reason to think that he's not going to try and cut. Musk says, I saw what you cut, and it's not enough. Is he seeing something the rest of us don't see? Perhaps an urgency that maybe we don't understand? I'm not an economist. He's not alone. And his father, Errol Musk, will tell you that his hunches are usually right. Here now, my interview with the father, Mr. Musk, Earl Musk. Earl, there's so much that we need to talk about because I think I can't wait to hear what you have to say about the United States, about Russia, South Africa, lots of topics. But something has just happened as we were preparing. This post just came in from your son. I'm going to read it to you as I'm getting it right now. It says, I regret some of my posts about President Trump last week. They went too far. This is your son talking about the President of the United States and that feud they had.
Yes, well, it's very good to hear that. I'm very pleased to hear that.
Were you upset when you were hearing about this feud they were having, these nasty exchanges?
Initially, I couldn't quite grasp what the problem, you know, what it was. But it's important to realize that they've been 4 months or at least maybe 5 months of intensive, you know, stress daily, almost you could say day and night. Mm-hmm. And anyone, doesn't matter who it is, you, me, anybody, placed under that sort of stress, you. Once you've cleared the opposition, which is what they were trying to do, once they were able to be free of all hindrances, mm-hmm. they found themselves in an arena, the two of them. And how do you get out of that mode? You just keep on, you know, with whatever's left. And that's sort of what happened. And obviously, you know, you don't even hear from the so-called liberals. They're not even in the crowd at the arena. They're gone.
Do you think your son went too far with some of his comments? Or do you think Mr. Trump went too far with some of his comments as well?
Well, yes. You know, everyone does, depending on the level of stress.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what's the worst thing people have said when they're arguing with one another? I'm going to kill you!
Yeah.
That's just words.
Yeah.
And later you find them in the dining room or in the pub or in the in their home having a drink together and, you know, wishing everybody would just forget about that.
You know, your son has a strange way about him. He's so brilliant, obviously, just by the measure of what he has accomplished in his life. But to look at him, his character is not common in sometimes the way he does things. Do you know where I'm being very careful how I say this because I want to be kind about it.
No, of course.
Where does that come from? And do you recognize it?
Yes, I do recognize it. In the males in our family tend to be, first we're somewhat technically orientated people.
Yeah.
We tend to focus very, when we focus on something, the males, some worse than others. I think Elon is probably the worst, to the exclusion of everything else. So you could even be in conversation with Elon in what you think is a deep conversation, and in the middle of talking with him, he will just get up and walk away.
Seriously?
Yes, and everybody...
Like his thoughts went somewhere else.
Yes, yes. And if you were watching carefully, you'd have seen, you might have noticed that he was looking at you, but he had latched onto something else.
Yeah.
Yes. And so an interesting story that I've told is that when he was in grade two, the principal of the school, very nice school, in the best town at the time in South Africa, Pretoria, called me and said he has to see me the next day. Of course, I knew it must be about Elon. Mm. One of the things Elon had, again, it comes back to this thing with Trump, with President Trump, and that is that if you annoyed Elon, even when he was a little boy, mm-hmm. When I say annoyed, if you said to him, if an adult said to him when he was reading a book, because he was quite an avid reader at quite a young age, from about nine, I'd say, they would say to him, he'd have some thick book, usually The Lord of the Rings or something like that, and some adult would say to him, are you reading that or are you looking at the pictures? And he'd say, well, I'm reading it. Are you stupid or something?
Wow.
You know?
Just so, blurted it out.
Yeah. So as a child, I used to say to him, you know, you can't do that. You're not allowed to say to people that. But then he'd say to him, but they're stupid. I say, yes, I know they are.
But if he thinks if he thinks something, says it.
Yes, he says it.
Yeah.
And then I say, yeah, but you can't say it. Even if I agree with you, they are a bit stupid. But anyway, so at the school, let me tell you the story. So the school, I thought, oh my God, he's told the teacher's stupid. So I went the next day, you know, full of trepidation, and went into the office, and there was an older lady sitting there wringing her hands, and that was the teacher, and the principal, very fine man. And I sat down and I said, well, what is it? And then they immediately started by saying, we believe your son is retarded. So I...
That's nice to hear.
Oh, no, I was relieved.
About your son?
Yes, they simply used that word because it was 70s. I mean...
Yeah, they did.
You know, nobody's... You know, they didn't worry about words in those days, you know, academically challenged. No, we believe your son is retarded.
Yeah.
And needs a special school. Mm-hmm. He needs special schooling. He needs to go to a special school. So I knew, you know, I mean, I didn't think Elon was retarded, but I was very, very relieved to hear that he hadn't said the teacher is stupid, you see?
Yeah.
So I was kind of happy, you know, big smiles on my side.
We can sit here and play armchair psychologist or psychiatrist and try and figure out, is it ADD, is it this? And we have all these labels for things now, but people have different personalities. And it seems to me like, sometimes his focus isn't there, but my God, look at the product of his own,
of
what he's done. Yeah, I mean.
Small talk is not his thing.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, it's not his thing, so.
Yeah,
you know,
Earl, you're a brilliant engineer. I mean, the things that you've accomplished in your life. And it seems like you wanted to pass that on to him ever since he was little. You would take him to your job projects and make him lay brick and make him run wire.
Not lay bricks, but certainly everything else. Yeah,
and construction
they
stuff.
Would be exposed to it. So I was putting up high-rise buildings, huge. In fact, I was one of the four developers of the biggest shopping center in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
And so obviously they would come with me, and some places I would fly to take them with because it was easier to take both of the boys with me to a site. I had a very fast aircraft and they would come with me. The contractors would spoil the hell out of them, you know, with chocolates and sweets, which I'd later regurgitate in the plane.
Sounds wonderful.
So they saw everything. And, they really did see everything.
Is that why he's so analytical? Is that why Elon is so good at figuring problems out?
Yes. I think he is able to see the whole picture of something. You know, so that's very important. When you're going to do something, it's good that you can see the whole picture in front of you. Like maybe some great artist might see his portraiture or something that he's doing, he can see it in his head before he does it. And that's a lot of what I would say Elon is about and my other children.
Well, then I have to ask you this because I think this is interesting because this goes to the heart of the argument that he's having right now with Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump is being criticized. Mr. Trump is being criticized not only by Elon Musk, but by many people for this budget. You know, the United States, my country, is about to get ready to spend, in total spending, $7 trillion? That's what they're budgeting from now on, moving forward. That's crazy money, and it just keeps going up and up and up. And a lot of people, especially on the right, are saying, you know, Mr. President, we've got to stop. I mean, how much money can we give to the military? How much money can we send overseas? We've got to control this. And that's the point that Elon's making.
Yes.
It's a good point, is it
not? Yes, of course. He sees the whole picture. On the other hand, maybe I'm prepared to admit maybe Donald Trump sees an even bigger picture. So it's not to say Elon is right, but he's certainly right up to a point. And I actually did go so far as when this business started 2 weeks ago to drop a note to him saying, please let this fizzle out. And then I added, I know it's not good to print money on goods that have not yet been produced, but sometimes it's a great spur in an economy to print money before the goods are produced to ensure that something actually happens.
Yeah.
So
that's an interesting way of looking at it.
Yes. Well, this is I'm not an economist, mm-hmm. but it is an aspect of economy, you know.
That tendency of him to lash out when he sees something big picture that is wrong is the same thing he's doing now as an adult with Mr.
Trump.
Yes,
yes, very much. Yeah. It worries me. You know, recently when they said they were going to reduce the H-1B visas, you know, he came up with a phrase which he said, I will if some anyone in the face who wants to. This is very wrong. It's somewhat childish. It's lashing out.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you don't want to change people's personality. They must be who they are, you know.
He's also been arguing and I think making the point that we need to intervene because things are a little out of control in South Africa. He thinks there's almost a reverse racism that's taking place in the country. You know South Africa as well as anybody. Is that the case?
Well, not from the ordinary in the street people. Hmm. But from the black policymakers in government, in order to justify whatever it is they're doing, they try to, of course, you know, give the impression that all difficulties in the country can be laid at the mm-hmm. feet of the white or European people, or the white people who live there. So, yeah, you do have a lot of sort of reverse racism at government level.
Can whites and blacks get along in South Africa?
They've been getting along for a very long time, for, you know, hundreds of years, each bringing their own sort of contribution that they are capable of to the party. And so, as a result, the South Africa and countries around it grew very well over the period of, you know, let's say the last 200 years.
Are white farmers being discriminated against?
Yes.
And is there a threat that people, the government, wants to take their land?
Yes. No, I wouldn't say
that. That's the sense we get. Is it true?
What's happened is we don't have a very, the government is not very good. So that, as the president himself has said of South Africa, he's hamstrung by a poor civil service. Mm. So over the last 30 years, after inheriting a very, very highly organized country, equal to any other country on earth, first world country, I mean, they've let things like home affairs, there's no home affairs to speak of, department, there's no railway, the railways are gone, the airline is gone, the hospitals for the people hardly exist, you know, everything is just gone. And one of the
things... It sounds like just government mismanagement, what you're describing.
Yes, massive mismanagement, massive misuse of funds. So the result is it's not reverse racism, it's people who are desperate, you might say as well, or gangs that are just out to loot, who see a small little house in the middle of nowhere with some people in it and just go in and take what they want and in the process kill the people in the house.
Sounds economic.
Yeah, it's economic.
Like economic necessity.
It's economic and opportunistic
of course.
Robbery, you know.
And lack of ethics.
Nobody's going to come after them.
Yeah.
And so that's what you've got. It's opportunistic robbery.
Speaking of money, I want to ask you about NATO and the United States and Ukraine, especially since you happen to find yourself today in Moscow. It seems like between the United States and NATO and these European countries, they continually pumping hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars into Ukraine so that Ukraine will be fighting what seems to be a proxy war, even according to a lot of other people around the world now, with Russia. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, I'd start off by saying what Elon said, because again, I've had my own thoughts on the whole thing and much along what you've just been saying. And then let's take what Elon said in about early March this year, having looked at, having started working in the government and so forth. Elon said that, and again, I must just say, coming from Elon, you're talking about something coming from a sort of robotic type individual, if you understand what I mean. It's not as though he's trying to win votes or anything like that.
Right. He says what he thinks.
Yeah, he says what he believes.
Right.
And he said Ukraine is the biggest graft machine in human history. Corruption, stealing, theft, wrongdoing, you name it.
Malfeasance.
That all falls under graft.
Yeah.
And so coming from Elon, if that had come from some politician, you know, you might say, well, he's just looking for votes from certain group side or something like that. No, no, but coming from Elon, it's the brain that's telling you something. It's an AI, you could almost say, telling you something, you know. And, yeah, so if you start with that, then from my own point of view, it's pretty obvious that the Ukraine was used by NATO countries, some of the NATO countries at any rate, to provoke Russia into being concerned and about something right on their border. Of course, Ukraine was always for hundreds of years part of Russia, you know, part of the Tsarist Russia. I mean, so the whole thing is a bit odd.
So this foreign policy being carried out by Germany, my own country, the United States, your son's country, and the Brits and the French, for example, are they just doing this because it's a money game? Like, let's make bombs and let's make planes and make sure we got a place to use them so that when they disappear, we can make more bombs and more planes. It's just a simple game.
Well, yes, you know, Eisenhower warned, you know, when he was leaving office, he said the biggest threat to the United States is the industrial military complex.
Yes.
That was the actual words he used. The biggest threat we've got is the industrial military complex.
Beware, he said.
Yes, something to that
effect. Beware of the military industrial complex.
And yes, obviously, I couldn't help not hearing Mitch McConnell, and he answered the one question when he was told, look at all this money going from, you know, $100 billion going to Ukraine from us. How can we do this? And then he replied by saying, don't worry. It all comes back to us. It's all coming back.
But in the process,
that's
so many people...
That's the head of the Senate saying, don't worry, it all comes back
to us.
He's
a terrible man for saying something like that. That's a horrible thing to say. Because people are dying while you're making money, sir.
Yeah, the money's coming back. So, where is it coming back? But I imagine he meant it's coming back to the industrial military complex.
We're making planes.
Yes.
And every time a plane crashes, or every time a bomb goes off, somebody in America goes, cha-ching, I just got richer.
It's cash register going. Yeah. You know.
And I don't think that's what your son is saying when he's telling the president that we've got to pull back on spending so much money. I think, like you say, it's a big picture thing. But what he's saying agrees and is pretty much in line with what a lot of people are trying to push a lot of the administration, the new administration folks to do it. Do you think Mr. Trump will eventually get that? I think he will.
Oh, look, you know, he's a very brilliant man. He's a very gifted man. We can be very thankful for Donald Trump. The people were quite unhappy in America, everybody we met, you know, under the Biden time, and worrying about, you know, actual Americans and family, and wondering, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? You know, because America's set to be ruined, is the feeling people had. And Elon put voice that. He said sometime in September or so last year, if we don't elect Donald Trump, there will be the end of civilization in North America.
Mm.
That's Elon talking. Again, maybe talking about too much of a bigger picture, but that's what he said.
One of the reasons I'm here, and I think probably deep down, maybe one of the reasons you're here in Moscow is, I really feel that war and peace is one of the most important issues of our time. I really worry about nuclear war, World War III, and I think it's imperative that my country, the United States of America, finally at least establish some kind of healthy relationship with Russia, even if they disagree on things. But right now, we've been in a standstill. How important do you think that is?
Well, it's essential. I mean, Russia is a major player. It's not a mini player. It's a major player. It's the biggest country on earth with the most resources, you might say. Biden actually terminated talks or the connection with Russia.
He made it illegal for me, Earl, as a journalist in the United States, to even talk about Russian issues or represent Russian media. Well, he made it illegal to do journalism.
Well, you know, Biden has been thoroughly discredited and by now. And people now realize that he wasn't, in fact, the president. He was simply a doddering character, you know, doing whatever he was told. And we now see that a lot of the stuff that was signed off was auto-penned, which means that a lot of the legislation is probably not legal.
Somebody else was running the country.
Yeah,
that's what
somebody
it means.
Else was running the country.
Yeah. You believe there is an administrative state or a deep state in America?
Well, yes. There's always been a deep state. The deep state is the people who, in every country, you know, the people who have the biggest vested interest in property and the biggest vested interest in factories that they, that you know, they have the most to lose, and they are not necessarily in a position to be elected to a political office, but at the same time they have great interest in having a political situation that is sympathetic to their deep involvement in the country, and you would call that then the deep state.
But a lot of people were pulling for your son. The reason people were excited about seeing your son get a position in government, unofficial as it was, because he was going to go after those sons of bitches. He wanted to get rid of those people.
Well, not get rid of all of them, but get rid of those who seem to have an agenda which was contrary to what America stood for. Now, for Elon, America stood for a place that he could go to from a country that was effectively quite dysfunctional at the time. And for him, America was
the promise,
like heaven. It was as I remember my one daughter, my daughter, she's now 31, the second from the youngest, Alexandra, she went to America when she finished school. Immediately we were able to send her to America about 2012, 2013 or something like 2012. And she wrote back, she said, "Dad, I can't believe that I'm here. I have so many BFFs." On a funny note, I thought BFF stood for something quite different.
I was quite surprised.
That's what happens when you get when we get to our age. We learn new terms.
I was quite surprised when I heard it stood for best friends forever, because I thought it stood for something else.
Let me ask you a couple of quick things before we wrap up here. First of all, your relationship now with Elon?
Very good.
Very good.
Yes.
You guys chat. You talk.
Well, you know, I don't interfere in their lives. I have two sons, by the way, you know.
Kimball.
Equally brilliant, equally wonderful.
More handsome, I think, too.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. No father would say something like that.
Don't say that to Elon.
No, I think they're both beautiful.
They are.
Elon doesn't... Kimball is more... takes care of his looks. Elon couldn't care less what he looks like, you see. But... Kimball and I had lunch recently in Abu Dhabi with one of the sheikhs, so that was wonderful. A couple of months ago.
So you do have a good relationship still.
Yes, absolutely. And then Elon and I, you see, it would be much the same as when I was their age or younger even, and my father never interfered in my life and asked me when I practiced as a consulting engineer. He never offered any opinion to me, so because I would have not listened, you know. And in the same way now, because he came from a different generation, didn't know about what I was doing. And in the same way now, I don't interfere in their lives.
But your son. You love him.
Of course. We talk about family, if we talk. You know, somebody in the family needs this or doesn't need this, or should we or shouldn't we, or should somebody move, or this, you know, this kind of thing.
So, I have to ask you, here you are in Moscow.
like me. I've only been here 4 weeks, and I'm just getting to know this place, and I've got lots of impressions. What are yours?
Well, Moscow, I didn't know what to expect. I was a victim of, movie
propaganda
of Moscow. I thought it's all dark shadows and deep, dark alleys and shadows, you know, like The Third Man with Orson Welles or something like that. What I saw, first of all, was just women and children. Women and little children, beautifully dressed little children. Elegant. I arrived on a weekend, and everywhere, just beautiful women and children. Beautiful women with little children, everywhere. And beautiful buildings that totally, literally were breathtaking. And I thought, well, this, how do I not know about this, you know? And I did a river cruise last night on the river Moscow.
Moscow, yeah.
And it was quite long, and we did quite a long bit of river. And I can say with confidence, Moscow is by far, not by a little, by far the most beautiful capital city on earth.
Let me see if you can check off some of the things that I noticed too about Moscow. No crime.
No, and cleanliness.
Clean.
The cleanliness is remarkable.
Green.
Mowed.
Right.
Tended.
Family oriented.
Yes, and children and women pushing their carts.
Do you know
little,
what that
little
do you,
children being chided to keep up or come back?
But do you know what you and I just described?
What?
What the West wants to be.
Yes, what we described is what we aspire to. What I would aspire to.
So why do we hate these people?
In my own country. We don't hate these people.
No, I mean, why does the media in these countries
They've got a program. They've got an agenda. They're following an agenda. And the agenda is to discredit this place for some obscure reason.
Right.
And, I don't think it's that obscure. Somehow it's to do with money and of course, frightening people in their own countries into accepting rules and regulations or new laws that are not in the people's interests.
Yeah.
On the grounds that it protects them from Russia.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, they're lying.
They're lying. That's I must say, I was fooled for a long time.
Me too.
So yeah, I was a typical dupe. 10 years ago, I was a total dupe. More or less a total dupe.
Yeah. You believe what you read?
Well, I watched CNN.
Yeah, exactly. I used to be the one talking to you on CNN.
Oh, you were on CNN. You were probably talking to me. When I started listening to people on CNN, and something in my head was saying to me, this is not right what these people are saying, And this would be happening more and more and more. But before that, I never did that. And slowly, I started wanting to find other sources of information. And I found Fox News better, mm-hmm. or more, made more sense to me. And then, quite honestly and quite without the slightest distruth in it, or whatever it is, I actually saw RT.
Yeah.
We used to have RT. And then I actually found myself going to RT, and it sounds like I'm being propaganda.
No, I understand.
Telling the truth.
I went through the same process.
Yeah, and then I would go to RT to see what's really going on. Not to say that I just thought I'd get a better better story. They'd tell me something else.
Or at least different.
Well, I'd see something that wouldn't make me say, wait a minute, that's not right. You know what I mean? But I was watching stuff starting in about 2015, on CNN and the others, like CNN, some of the others, and saying that's not true, that's not right, that's not true. My own experience or something was telling me something wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, soon it became more and more evident, more and more evident. I mean, today no one even bothers to take the slightest notice of CNN.
You know, it's funny, it's media in the United States now that seems controlled, messaged, by corporations and people in the government who are bought by those corporations. And that's unfortunately what we have, which is why what we're doing, what I think I'm trying to do here in Moscow, and what
my friend Tucker Carlson and others are doing now, yeah. and they're getting more people to watch them. So I think it's the future.
No doubt about it. I mean, there's a revolution. You could call it a revolution.
Yeah.
So you are not alone. You're part of that revolution. And
Thank you.
And in my way, also a little bit a part of that revolution. And so I tell other people, and I see I don't have to tell them so much anymore. Mm. They know before I even tell them.
That's great.
You know, that could be anywhere. It could be in America, could be relatives in America, friends in America, it could be people in South Africa. They already know before. So there is the fact is CNN and these organizations like them, NBC in America and BBC in, as well.
Oh, they're the worst.
Nobody believes them anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody takes the slightest notice of them. Mm. They just don't take any notice of them. They're hot air. And if you put the TV on, you might just turn the sound off, just to have, if you're alone at home, just so that there's some movement to around
well,
the place.
Listen, I want to thank you for this open exchange, yes. these ideas. By the way,
thank you.
Nobody sent you notes on what you had to say or you would be shot or anything like that.
No,
right?
No.
Just you and I having a conversation, yes. sitting here in your hotel room. And
yes.
You're a fine gentleman. Thank you so
thank
much,
you.
Sir, for taking time to have this
thank
conversation.
You.
I think it's really illustrative for a lot of people. To be able to hear some of your ideas
okay.
and how your son Elon became to be your son Elon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, really.
Okay.
I appreciate it. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Did you hear some of the father and the son or some of the son and the father? Let me know. I'd be interested as I was listening to the sound of his voice and his tone. By the way, that's our news. But before we leave you, I want to remind you to check out my podcast. It's on YouTube, by the way. It's called Journalistically Speaking. Go there if you get a chance. I think you'll like it. We call it J-Speak for short, by the way, so it's not such a long term. You can also talk to me about this interview or anything else on X, speaking of the Musks, on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I go by Rick Sanchez TV there, Rick Sanchez TV. So this is The Sanchez Effect. It's delivered without corporate whispers, without political masters. We bring you, look, what's happening, raw, honest, and real. And we'll look for you next time. Good night.